Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Another week of the NFL season means another shot for new customers to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Bet just $1 on any NFL game and you win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was way back in 1943. I don't think that's going to happen again. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $1 on any NFL game and you win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, we've been talking about the Iowa game, and the conversation has been centered on the quarterback. And with Sean Clifford out hurt, Taquan Roberson comes in, and the game flips completely. It's led to some other conversations among the fan base. And one of the questions that has come up is, during the offseason, it's obvious Penn State lost Will Levis, a very competent backup quarterback, and he's now the starter at Kentucky.
And Micah Bowen. Don't forget about Micah Bowen as well, who's a talented passer.
So, and, you know, Michael Johnson also left. Yeah. There were no other options except Taquan Roberson in the quarterback room. Christian Vaiu, true freshman, didn't even play his last year in high school because of COVID concerns. Not a viable option. Yep. So this was really about Taquan Roberson. So the question becomes, all right, your coaching staff during this offseason, based on what we saw, a lot of the conclusions are Roberson wasn't ready for the moment. They didn't get a transfer in here. Do you blame the coaching staff for not getting a transfer in, or was it just the circumstances limited the possibilities there?
I guess at the end of the day, the job description is to get the transfer if you need one. So if you want to say that they didn't pitch it well enough or they didn't scour the earth enough for every quarterback, then yes, you can say that it is on the coaching staff, on the offensive coordinator, bringing in a guy that he wants into the program. And this is a key factor that James Franklin does not want to bring in transfers that are mercenaries. He wants guys that he has a previous relationship with, guys that he knows their character and he knows their family and all of those things from the recruiting process. So that narrows the pool. And then that goes down to which of those quarterbacks is available and wants to come to your university. They're transferring because they want to play, and they want an avenue to the field. Penn State had made up their mind long before Will Levis transferred that Sean Clifford was their quarterback and that they were going to have that be their best option in 2020, by the way, or 2021. By the way, they were ranked fourth, so it wasn't a bad gamble. But how do you find a quarterback to come in and not have a chance, really, truthfully, to push Clifford to be the starting quarterback, but to be there for the year after? You have to have somebody that really, and I mean really, believes in Mike Yurcich as a quarterback developer. Somebody who's like, this is my shot, this is my ticket to get the right coaching to go to the NFL. And Mike Yurcich is a good offensive coordinator. I'm very impressed with every time I talk to him. I come away learning more about football and learning more about playing the position and how to teach it and all those things. And I think he's a very smart, very talented offensive coordinator. I don't know that he's got the he doesn't have the reputation of a guy like the Oklahoma coach, Lincoln Riley, who that is his reputation. That's why Micah Bowen went to Oklahoma. So I don't know how you thread that needle. And they didn't. They could not find a guy that wanted to come in and be the backup and potentially compete with Roberson to do that and then potentially be the starter in 2022. Most college kids don't think 2 years in the future. They think probably 10 minutes, you know, for most of them. And then the mature ones can see maybe a year out, maybe. So they tried. They looked at plenty of quarterbacks in the transfer portal. Another one that came to mind that I had heard was Dylan McCaffrey, as far as a guy who was transferring. You watched him last year at the Nebraska game. Was he a viable starting Big Ten quarterback that was demonstrably different than Taquan Roberson? I don't know that I have the evidence of that. I don't think Penn State was interested truly in that particular situation. And again, if that guy's transferring from Nebraska, he probably wants to play. And he's certainly not better than Sean Clifford. So this is the transfer portal swings both ways. You know, the door that you can get guys in the transfer portal and you can lose them. And so far, Penn State, and this maybe is where James Franklin does have to change his philosophy, you just have to get a quarterback. You have to get another. It doesn't matter if you know him or not. Doesn't matter. All of those things. Because ultimately, if you can't perform in that position, you've failed in that particular moment. And, you know, I have a hard time getting to that point personally because I see the circumstances and I don't know what I would do there. You know, you don't want to lose Sean Clifford. You don't want to open the competition and then have something terrible happen where you're in a situation where you have no quarterback. So they determined when they couldn't get TJ Finley to come to Penn State over Auburn that their best course of action was to stay the course and stay with the quarterbacks they have. And again, they were ranked fourth in the nation until Sean Clifford was hit by Jack Campbell. And then after that, it changed. And we don't know where they are now because we don't know Sean Clifford's health.
And another comment was, gee, look at Oklahoma. When their starter didn't play well, they brought in this true freshman by the name of Caleb Williams. Well, guess what? And he was out of pretty much Penn State territory coming out of D.C., Gonzaga High. Well, guess what? Penn State did want
him. They recruited him.
It wasn't like Penn State said, nah, we'll take a pass on him. Let him go to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
This was the player's choice, and can you blame a quarterback for wanting to go to Oklahoma?
But again, that's the whole point. Lincoln Riley is a developer of quarterbacks that's known to get guys to the NFL. And this is the same thing that's happening at Ohio State with Ryan Day. It was definitely not the case with Urban Meyer. Like, there were no quarterbacks that were good that came out of Urban Meyer's system that were NFL caliber players. We are seeing a shift where Justin Fields chose Ohio State and that offense and Ryan Day. And now we're seeing them get CJ Stroud and Quinn Ewers. And this is how it works. And this is the point I made in the first segment, is that Joe Moorhead was a great offensive coordinator and a great mind that has produced, other than when he was the head coach at Mississippi State, where, I mean, that's such a tough situation to win. He was known as a good offensive coordinator, a good creator, good play caller. Guys wanted to play for that team. They had 2 years where it was mixed results. I know Ricky Ronnie, everyone here really liked him. But when I watched his offenses and the way the quarterbacks didn't progress underneath him, to me that indicated that he wasn't one of those guys. He's now at Old Dominion. You bring in a guy that you thought maybe that could be with Tanner Morgan, and he worked with Kirk Shiraka, and that didn't work for 1,000 reasons that would take another whole show to talk about, but we've already done that 3 times. So now you're back with Mike Yurcich, but you've had 3 years in between where all of this is in flux, and you weren't getting those top recruits. Now you are starting to do that again. But it's coming, and this is the current situation right now because of those things. So that's another thing. If you want to say that's James Franklin's fault that he could not identify an offensive coordinator to replace Joe Moorhead that was successful, you can also place that at Franklin's feet, because ultimately he is the guy who is captaining this ship and is the leader of the organization. But there are reasons why these things happen.
All right, you mentioned development. Let's talk about this. We don't know, as of this recording, what the issue is with Sean Clifford. Rumors are, you know, abound. Mm-hmm. He put out a pretty vague Instagram note, which makes you think maybe he's coming back or maybe he's done for the season. But what you have a situation now is, if Sean Clifford isn't back and ready, you have Taquan Roberson. That's what you have. And if it's the case, he will be getting those first team reps. Let's say he's your starter in 2 weeks when they play Illinois. What do you do as offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich to get Taquan Roberson ready? And what do you do to the offense to fit him?
So I've been thinking about this a lot over the last 2 days. You need to find a way to be quick, efficient, and simple without being predictable. And again, I do a film study all after every Penn State football game, and I show just in a basic graphic of the zones of the field that you were working with after you saw what Taquan Roberson was capable of after the first couple of passes. I don't know how you do that. I'm not a creative play caller at the level of intelligence that Mike Yurcich is. But if we've seen anything, he's been able to craft a really good game plan for Sean Clifford. What can he do with a guy that maybe doesn't have those abilities right now? And this is, again, where, you know, my gut, and I said earlier, I don't really want to trust my gut because what it saw is just what it saw. And what it's seen is a guy, even going back to spring, that I wasn't particularly impressed with ball placement or his footwork, his mechanics, most of those things, I think need a lot of work. And until you fix those things or until you find a workaround for those things, non-viable is kind of in the territory of the type of quarterback. But can you design an offense that plays to his strengths, whatever those are? You know, and again, I haven't seen him in practice enough to know what those strengths are. It definitely wasn't the game plan he was running on Saturday, but if you craft a game plan for him, I think you have to consider making some changes along the offensive line, because this offensive line was built to protect Sean Clifford. If you're not protecting Sean Clifford and you need to get more juice in the run game, maybe you do consider moving some guys around. Maybe you do consider not playing Eric Wilson, who's a good pass protector, but is not a good run blocker. I don't know if you want to move Mike Miranda, because the center does much more than just, you know, block. Like, snapping the football is not just an easy thing that anyone can do off the bat consistently. That's the thing. Every single play, right where it's supposed to be. So those are some of the things you consider, but I would consider maybe moving some people around on the offensive line, trying to get the running game going a little bit better through that, and building a different template. And if that's the case, if they're able to do that, then they can be offensively viable at an average to slightly below average level. But I don't believe this offense is going to be humming at any point this season if that's the plan.
You have Taquan Roberson at quarterback. It looks like his best skill might be running the ball. Do you risk that on your offense?
Sean Clifford got hurt in the pocket on third down throwing a pass. So you can get hurt at any point in the football game. You're going to do what you need to do to win the game. I wasn't particularly impressed with Roberson's rushing, truthfully. It was just the most successful play. As far as his running ability, he's 5'11", 197 pounds. I don't know that he's a dominant runner. It's just what was successful. I think his arm strength, the zip on the ball, that is something that is a strength of his. So, again, if it's predetermined reads, if it's just brilliant play calling, you know, just getting guys wide open, that might be the thing.
Getting guys open, that's always a good game plan. All right, that's it for quarter number two. Stick around. Quarter number three, we're going to ask T. Frank.
Another week of the NFL season means another shot for new customers to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.